Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Marvel Chronology episode. We're continuing with the Thanos Reading Order. And just a reminder, everybody, that Thanos Reading Order is available on the Crushing Crisis website. There is a link in the show notes where you can go and check out the Crushing Crisis website. There's tons of reading orders there, whether you want to do a reading order of a certain character or a certain title or a certain event. There's tons of great information there. And in fact, we talked to Crisis, as he's known, on one of our comic book content creator conversations not too long ago. So if you're curious about why he does what he does and how he got started and all that, I do recommend that you go and check out that conversation that we had with him. It was a whole heck of a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and dive into the issue that we're going to be talking about today. As you can see right here, it's if you're watching on YouTube, that is, we're going to be talking about Silver Surfer number 37 with Drax on the cover saying, "Where is Thanos?" Silver Surfer has recently made the acquaintance of Thanos himself. This is all leading up to the Incredible Infinity Gauntlet miniseries from back in the early 90s that brought Thanos back into the Marvel Universe with a vengeance and eventually led to him becoming a household name in the MCU. So this particular issue is written by Jim Starlin. The pencils are by Ron Lim. We have inks by Tom Christopher. Colors are by Tom Vincent, and letters are by Ken Brusenac. Too many Toms there. Ken Brusenac on letters. So it starts off, and Silver Surfer is actually back on the planet. That desolate planet that he first landed on a few issues ago, where he was just tired and he just wanted a rest. And he found a world that, although it had atmosphere, it was pretty desolate. It was like a desert planet, just a bunch of dunes. And he eventually had the dream where he first saw Thanos being resurrected by death and first met Thanos. And so he's gone back to that planet where he first encountered Thanos when Thanos was brought back to life, because he needs to find Thanos. He needs to find him and stop him from this plan that Thanos has about erasing half of the universe, killing half of the life in the universe. And so Surfer's thinking about how much has happened in only a day. It was only yesterday on this barren planet that he met Thanos, and he needs to try to track him down, but the universe is vast. Thanos doesn't travel around with a spacecraft that Surfer could use his cosmic power senses to track down. So it's much tougher, right? Being that it's a teleportation that Thanos has used in order to travel around the universe. So he starts thinking about how most of the time his powers are able to track even the microscopic emissions left by a spaceship. But since Thanos teleports around, it makes it a much tougher. And he's thinking about, you know, back on Earth, he was able in the past to track somebody who traveled by teleportation, but that was just miles, right? He only had to track that person for miles, as opposed to this is, you know, millions and millions of light years that it's possible that Thanos is traveling through. So he starts kind of cycling through his different options in terms of how can I use my vision and find out. So he uses his spectroscopic vision to see if there's any kind of electromagnetic radiation that he can follow. He sees nothing. So then he tries to use kind of a magnification type vision, he says, subatomic, to see if there's some trail. He still sees nothing. So then he starts changing the frequency of his vision. He raises it up and he thinks, man, Thanos is, you know, he's more powerful than any foe that Surfer has ever faced before. But as he raises his vision up through the visual spectrum, he's able to finally see something. He says, wow, it's, you know, it's kind of amazing. The technology that Thanos is using would rival even Galactus's scientific abilities. But now Surfer thinks, okay, but I've got something. I've got a trail I can follow. I can track Thanos down. And as he flies off the planet and he starts following this, he realizes that Thanos once again was one step ahead, because he gets to a certain point in this trail that he's found, this microscopic electromagnetic trail, and it splits into six different directions that go off in six different quadrants of space. So he's thinking, well, I guess the next thing I should do is maybe try to get more background on Thanos. You know, when he's speaking to Captain America recommended that Surfer go and speak to Mentor. Thanos' father on Titan, one of the moons of Saturn that they've transformed into the interior of, into a paradise. And maybe through finding out more about the history of Thanos, Surfer may be able to get an idea of where Thanos might be. So he goes to Mentor. They have a conversation. Mentor kind of gives him the background of how Thanos was always, you know, even as a child, very unruly, brilliant, but ultimately evil. And Surfer apologizes for bringing up these memories. And Mentor's like, no, it's fine. I'll gladly, you know, take a little bit of bad memories if it means that you're going to vanquish my firstborn, because he doesn't deserve to live. And you know, we were glad when he was gone. And so he gives him more background about how Thanos killed his own mother and then eventually fled the planet before they could catch him, and grew up on the outer rim of the galaxy, where the power and the abilities that he had been given as a Titan were honed to a ruthless level. And for more than 8 decades, he was out there. More than 80 years, he was out there, learning how to use his powers for evil and just getting, becoming more and more of a threat, I guess you'd say. And so when he finally did return home to conquer Titan, they fell easily, because Titan was a peaceful place, and they weren't prepared for somebody with that level of animosity. And we know, with the help of Captain Marvel and the Avengers, that Thanos was eventually defeated when Captain Marvel destroyed the cosmic cube that was giving Thanos the omnipotent power, and that ultimately freed Titan, and they were able to rebuild with Mentor restored as their leader. So while Mentor and Surfer are having this conversation, for some reason, Eros, Star Fox, one of Mentor's other sons, is the one who's monitoring the station for when somebody is approaching Titan. He's the son of the ruler. Maybe everybody takes a turn. Maybe he takes it upon himself as part of his responsibilities as the son of the leader. I don't know. But for whatever reason, Eros is the one who spots another visitor heading toward Titan, saying, huh, this is kind of weird that we're getting two visitors in one day, and this one also doesn't need the benefit of a spacecraft. So he's wondering who it can be, and he's adjusting the sensors to try to figure out if he can see the shape and see the image of who this is. And when he does, he says, by great nebula, and he immediately jumps out of his chair, goes running to find his father, saying Mentor must be informed immediately. So meanwhile, back in the control center of Titan, where Mentor is kind of filling the Surfer in on Thanos's origins, he's saying, because of the past experiences we've had with Thanos, and because of the experience that you just had, we fully need to take this threat seriously that he's making about killing off half the universe. If anybody's able to do it, it was Thanos, right? Even before returning from the dead, he was capable of something like this. So if he's back, then, you know, we need to take this seriously, because, you know, he was always fascinated by death. He always had this sort of incomprehensible relationship with her. And Surfer's asking a question we all have asked ourselves many times, like, but why? Why is Thanos so fascinated by death? And Mentor doesn't really have an answer. He just says he's long served that dark mistress, and there's only one way to stop him, and that's to kill him, to return him to death, you know, because he's always going to do her bidding. So at that moment, their conversation is interrupted. They hear a voice, and it's actually the voice of Eros saying, hey, you can't go in there. And Surfer and Mentor are like, what's that? And Mentor's like, well, it sounds like my other son, Eros. And as he says that, Eros comes flying through the doors that go busting off their hinges. And Surfer, not being fond of Eros from their previous meeting, says, we've met. And we did see that when Surfer was talking to Captain America. Captain America was mentioning Eros and how he was a member of the Avengers. And just offhandedly, Surfer said, I thought you guys had better taste than that. And this all stems back from way back in Silver Surfer 19, when Eros used his abilities of persuasion, his ability to manipulate emotions. He used those on Nova. And at the time, Silver Surfer and Nova were sort of in this quasi romantic relationship, having, you know, both been the heralds of Galactus and both being very similar in terms of life experiences and that sort of thing. And Surfer very much resented that Nova was having romantic feelings for Eros. I think even a little bit before Eros used his abilities on her. So there's no love lost between these two. Star Fox and Silver Surfer really don't care much for one another. But anyway, as we turn the page, we see there's a couple of other members of the security staff hanging on to this figure who has busted into the room. The figure, the being that Eros spotted heading to Titan, and it's Drax the Destroyer back from the dead, which we saw a few issues ago that Cronus had once again resurrected him. And Silver Surfer has never met him. And he says as much. I don't really know this guy. Can you tell me who he might be? And Mentor says, oh, it's Drax the Destroyer. And Surfer says, oh, right. I recognize him from the Avengers files, but he seems changed. And all Drax wants to know is, where's Thanos? In that way, he's sort of on a one-track mind. And so Mentor and Surfer continue having a conversation. And meanwhile, Drax is just saying, where's Thanos? So Mentor says, yeah, Drax has always had this strange bond with Thanos. He was actually created by Cronus as a way to punish Thanos, sort of an ill-conceived attempt at keeping Thanos in check, you know, disciplining him. And basically what Cronus did is he grafted this uncontrollable desire to see Thanos destroyed onto the soul of a dead Earthman. Surfer's like, wait, what? How do you do that? Metro's like, who knows? You know, Cronus is nearly a god. So what we do know is that he housed this combination, this desire to see Thanos destroyed and this human soul into this nearly indestructible and very powerful body that you see before you. And Surfer's like, well, he does look formidable. And Mentor's like, but unfortunately, he's not very efficient, right? He was never very good at doing what he was created to do. And meanwhile, Drax just keeps repeating, where's Thanos? And Silver Surfer says, is there something wrong with him? Why does he keep asking the same thing over and over? And Mentor's like, well, my guess is it has to do with the odd nature of Thanos coming back and the way that the Destroyer has been reanimated, right? He suffered some brain damage in his last incarnation. And so with the strange way of Thanos coming back to life, maybe he doesn't have that sixth sense that he used to have. Drax used to always be able to sense where Thanos was in the galaxy, always kind of find his way to Thanos to try to destroy him. So Mentor goes on to say, you know, we would be spared the bothersomeness of his repeatedly saying, where's Thanos, where's Thanos, where's Thanos, if he still had that sixth sense, if he could still track Thanos across the universe. And so once again, Drax, where's Thanos? And actually raises his hand and starts charging up an energy blast to basically fire at the Surfer. And Star Fox thinks for a second and says, Surfer? Like he's going to warn him. And then at that moment, when Surfer turns around, just the look on Surfer's face and the way he responds, yeah, what do you want? Eros, Star Fox instead decides not to warn him at all. It says, oh, nothing, and lets Surfer get blasted in the back by Drax's energy beam there. So it's kind of a funny moment, just once again showing that there's no love lost between Eros and Silver Surfer. So Surfer's driven into the wall, like literally embedded into the wall, and has to kind of peel himself out. And Mentor's speculating, well, maybe it's because you were recently in close proximity to Thanos, and that's why Drax is here. He can sense that you were close to him. And again, Drax keeps asking, where's Thanos? Where's Thanos? And Surfer's starting to get annoyed. He's like, I wish I knew. I don't know. And so Drax grabs him from behind, asking once again, where is he? And finally, Surfer's had it. He backhands Drax and says, I don't know. And I repeat, I don't know. And then he blasts him and Drax sinks into the floor. And Surfer's like, do you get it? Have I knocked it into you? Do you understand that I don't know where Thanos is? And Drax says, well, sort of. And Surfer's like, okay, well, then that settles it. We have an understanding. Well, no, it really doesn't settle it. And Surfer's like, you know what? I don't have time for this. I'm leaving. And Drax is like, well, I'm going with you because I sense that you're going to meet him again soon. And Surfer's actually glad to hear that. He's been looking for Thanos and says, okay, that's good. So I'll leave and I'll see him soon. But Drax is not going to let things go that easily. He says, I'm going to go with you because you're going to see him soon. And Surfer, you know, this is a guy who's for millennia has been used to being alone, maybe in the company of Galactus. And that's about it. But otherwise, he travels the spaceways alone. And you could even say even when he was with Galactus, he was really alone since Galactus is not exactly, you know, talkative. So that's not to the Surfer's MO at all. But Drax is like, you can't just leave me. And Surfer's like, yep, I'll be going now. Well, that's easier said than done, Surfer. And Drax grabs the Surfer's surfboard. And the Surfer's like, what? Is he actually keeping me from taking off? Is he that powerful? And Mentor's like, well, yeah, the Destroyer's always been able to tap into this kind of limitless power reservoir. And I guess you can think of it as Cronus's gift to try to help him deal with Thanos. And so Surfer's like, well, okay. I know something about power and tactics, and this guy's holding me back from launching off. But let's see how smart he is if I shift my momentum and go into reverse. And sure enough, it catches Drax by surprise, and Surfer is able to swoop up and out of the headquarters, leaving behind a big, big mess for Eros and Star Fox to sort of stand among the debris. Eros, for one, is glad to see him gone. Like, okay, bye, guys. See you later. Have fun. And the Mentor's like, I'm kind of shocked at your behavior. These are two extremely powerful beings in conflict with each other that shouldn't be. And Star Fox says, yeah, two extremely powerful boobs. You know, he doesn't hold a high opinion of Surfer. We know that. And Drax has come back seemingly dumber than ever. So Mentor's like, but they could end up killing each other. And Star Fox is like, yeah, we'd never be that lucky. So anyway, now that he's back out in space, Surfer's going through all kinds of different loops and swirls and just all kinds of different maneuvers to try to shake Thanos loose. And he's like, man, I can't believe this. No matter how I maneuver my board, I cannot get this guy to let go. And the last thing I want is a direct confrontation with this simpleton. He's not evil. He's just, you know, annoying me and slowing me down and being a nuisance. So maybe if we blast through an asteroid, maybe that'll alleviate the problem. So he heads at full speed toward an asteroid, flies right through it. Asteroid kind of explodes into these smaller chunks. And as the debris and field clears, Surfer looks at the back of his surfboard and he's like, okay, finally an end to that nonsense. He's gone. I've managed to knock him off. So now I can figure out how I can track down Thanos. Because traveling with that guy would have just been a nightmare. Who knows what kind of problems he would have created for me. It would have been like traveling with the Hulk. And so as Surfer turns around to face forward on his surfboard, who does he see climbing up the front of the surfboard? Of course, Drax, once again saying, where's Thanos? And I will say at this point, Surfer is able to talk in space and Drax is able to hear them. I'm not really sure how that works, but we're just going to go with it, figuring there. Communicating on some sort of extra level telepathy or some kind of something or other. I don't know. Can't think about it too much. So as Surfer stands on the board saying, where's Thanos? Surfer like, really? We're back to this now? All right. Well, let's see how fireproof you are. Asteroid didn't knock you off. How about if we fly through a sun? Let's see if that'll knock you off. So sure enough, he flies through the sun. That makes no difference. They come out the other side. They're both fine. And Drax, the ever-present question, where's Thanos? Like, look, man, this is a waste of time. Are you capable of feeling any pain, Drax? And Drax says, the only thing I'm capable of feeling is the aching desire to see Thanos dead. Well, that'll do it, right? So Surfer's thinking about it like, man, this guy's got a one-track mind. And what am I going to do? Like, I'm already wasting time trying to get rid of him. Maybe I'm being foolish. Maybe I'm going about this the wrong way, kind of trying to attack it the same way I always do. And he's thinking back to that encounter that he had with the Impossible Man, where the Impossible Man said, you got to think outside the box and have more humor in your life and figure out a way to deal with things that way. And so he knows that Drax's soul is that of an Earthman. So maybe he can use that to his advantage, and even thinks by the sound of his voice, sounds like he was even American. So meanwhile, Drax is saying, take me to Thanos. And the Surfer's like, okay. I just remembered there might be a way to locate Thanos. Let's head to Earth, right? You know about the machines on Earth that can locate Thanos, the information machines? And Drax is like, Earth? So just be patient. Let's go check out these machines. Sometimes it takes them a while to answer their questions, but as they fly into Earth's atmosphere and head toward the Baxter Building, home of the Fantastic Four, he says, yeah, these miracle machines, they can be found here at the headquarters of Fantastic Four, and I'm sure they'll let us use one. And so he gets there, and they go inside the building, and Surfer's talking to Johnny Storm saying, yeah, we need to use one of your information machines. He's like, computer? And Surfer's like, no, like in this room. And Johnny's like, wait, what are you talking about? Like living room? What are you like? What's going on? Johnny says the only machine in here is the, and he's going to say television or TV, but Surfer's like, no, the information machine, right? He says, have a seat, Drax. And he says, Surfer says to Johnny, hey, check on us in about 4 hours. Johnny's like, okay, whatever you say. And meanwhile, I Love Lucy's on TV, and Drax sits down. And he's like, Lucy, I remember Lucy. And Surfer's like, yeah, of course you do. Just sit back and relax. So they sit back and they start watching these sitcoms. And we see on TV, they're watching I Love Lucy, followed by Mr. Ed, followed by Bonanza, and then an episode of Superman. It looks like an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies. And this is all based on theme songs and quotes that we're seeing come out of the TV. And Paladin's another one they watch. Looks like the Andy Griffith Show. And then eventually Leave It to Beaver is the final one. And it's just this scene of them watching the TV with Surfer and Drax sitting next to each other on the couch. But when we get to that final scene where the TV is saying and starring Jeremy Mathers as the Beaver, Silver Surfer is gone. He finally snuck off and left Drax alone to watch Leave It to Beaver. And Drax finally notices, saying, what? Where's Surfer? As we turn the page, we see Silver Surfer is flying out through space, back on a surfboard by himself, big grin on his face. And we're told next issue, showdown with Thanos. So I don't think Silver Surfer should necessarily think that's the last he's seen of Drax, but he has managed to shake him for now in kind of an interesting and funny way. That's all he needed to do. I don't know that he needed to fly all the way to Earth to do that. He maybe could have taken him to a bar, some intergalactic bar somewhere, and then said, hey, I got to go to the bathroom, and snuck off or whatever. But this was certainly a humorous way to do it. Plop down kind of the simpleton of who Drax is in front of the boob tube, to borrow an old school term, and to kind of play off what Star Fox was saying, or the idiot box, another term for television. But it worked. It distracted Thanos, and Surfer was able to fly off. So this issue really is just, it serves as a transitional issue to bring Drax back, to show us how single-minded he is, to show us that he's not the same sort of Drax that he was before. Not that Drax was ever this, you know, genius tactician or whatever, but he certainly had a higher level of intelligence than he does here. Here he's much closer to the sort of Dave Bautista portrayal in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies in the MCU than he was the original Drax, who was, you know, more intelligent and not like, to Surfer's use Surfer's term, like the Hulk, just this simple child who can't really think much beyond, hey, I want to find Thanos. I want to pound Thanos into a pancake, and basically that's it. So still just as powerful as ever, but yeah, he's got some problems due to the way that he died, which Moondragon had taken him over, and she was kind of overstepping her bounds, trying to create paradise and not giving people their individuality, including that of her father, and then eventually separated his consciousness from the body. Kind of divided all three, right? You had the body, you had the desire to kill Thanos, and you had her father's soul, Arthur Douglas, and she separated those three. And, you know, obviously the body is going to die without any intelligence or, you know, mind to animate it. So obviously this resurrection that Cronus has done has not restored Drax to any semblance of what he was before, but he looks bigger and more powerful just in terms of size than he's ever been. So again, I don't think we should for even one second think that we've seen the last of Drax. He's certainly going to play a role and find a way to try to help, but probably in some way be a hindrance to the Surfer's mission to try to take out Thanos. So anyway, that's going to do it for this issue. I will say that the Ron Lim art This is Lim at the height of his powers for me. Absolutely love the line work. Love how dynamic it is. I love the detail he puts in faces and hair and eyebrows, and the scenes out in space are really great. And I'm flying through the sun and coming out the other side, glowing orange, is done really, really well. So it's great. It's like I said, Ron Lim at the height of his powers. This Ron Lim art and Ron Lim working with Jim Starlin on the Silver Surfer title is my favorite. It's what made me a huge Ron Lim fan. I had seen his work before, and particularly in Captain America, where he did quite a bit of work. But this was it for me when it comes to Ron Lim. Him working on Silver Surfer is where it's at. So anyway, like I said, that's going to do it for this issue. Hope you guys all enjoyed it. Next time we'll be talking about Silver Surfer number 38, where Surfer finally catches up with Thanos and they confront each other once again. Just a reminder, go check out the Crushing Crisis website if you want to see the Thanos reading order, or you're ready to build a reading order on your own, or you just want to check out a really good resource for appearances for certain characters or certain series and that kind of thing. It's a really great resource. So remember, link in the show notes, or just go to crushingcrisis.com, and that's crisis with a K, and you'll find it pretty easily. So once again, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.